Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. I'm going to be in the studio for another couple of hours taking your phone calls. And when I say us, well, just call us and we'll let you know. But right now,
wait a
Alice
minute.
Benton and Chris Williams are here. We're here. And so in the next couple of hours, we're going to have a new team come in. Not going to tell you who it is, John Townsend. And so we want you to continue to join us. And we'll take those calls, 1-800-229-3000. But right now, we're going to go to the calls. We've got so many lined up here. And let's go to, how about we talk with Beth, Philadelphia. WFIL is the station. Hey, Beth, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. I own Take Your Life Back, Boundaries, How to Live with Somebody with ADD, and I thank all of you for your hard work on those books.
Well, thank you. Aww. Yeah. So you're living with a lot of really sick people. How's that going?
I'm the one with ADD. I bought it for myself.
Okay. Yeah, and that's an exciting adventure, isn't it?
It is.
Well, how could we help you here? I'm really glad that you called.
I've been feeling extremely oppressed and out of sorts recently. I'm very functional when I need to be, but whenever I have unstructured time, I compulsively escape with DVDs and reading. I was treated for depression years ago, and this does not feel like depression. Because I've been diagnosed with PTSD and with traumatic and post-traumatic amnesia, I was hoping that you could suggest a nonverbal solution.
What do you think?
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, I'd say you're not dealing with depression, and I would even suspect that your ADD is driven by anxiety, which is post-traumatic. So what you're doing when you're finding this unstructured time is this thing called dissociation. And that is when you have to sit with yourself, sit with your feelings. Most of the time, you probably can't even recognize it. You just feel uncomfortable and internally fast and furious, and you're escaping that into the sort of chaotic internal and fast-moving thoughts into it could be a video game or a TV show or some sort of media-driven distraction. So you're actually asking the right question, Beth. This is not necessarily a brain problem as far as what we call a mind. You know, we can't fix your mind through a broken heart. It is actually a body issue. There is something called somatic experiencing, that when you experience dissociation to such a great level, you disconnect from your body. Whatever your trauma was, your body went through that experience. And what somatic experiencing does helps you reconnect to your body and resolve the trauma. And so there's different trauma recovery techniques out there. Again, somatic experiencing is one. EMDR would be very helpful as well, as well as experiential therapy, or all types of things that help you connect to resolving your trauma through the body and not through just changing your thoughts, which is not going to work for you.
And I would just
May I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't EMDR require that you remember things in order for that to work? Because
well,
I can't.
Well, EMDR doesn't necessarily. You can feel a feeling. EMDR can open up your memory through the process itself.
And it can actually happen, Beth, without a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. There's some minimal amount of talking, but the bulk of the therapy and the meat of the work occurs within your own brain, and you don't have to talk through what's going on to be able to recover and heal from it.
All right. Would you mind? I'm very sorry. I have EMDR. Can you, and the somatic, what was it?
Experiencing. Somatic experiencing. Yeah.
And you can add biofeedback to that.
All right. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. And just to explain a few things, what I think I have certainly done, I think it's inappropriately named now because it's called, you know, eye movement or starts that way. But I've done this with a guy who... It wasn't my eyes. I closed my eyes and I didn't talk. And he used the headphones, and the music goes back and forth, and produces the same result. And so what I think there are a lot of different things that might help you to remember more.
Yeah.
One of which is just being able to relax in a safe environment where there is no threat to a memory. Coming about, and there's no suggestion that you create memories that didn't happen or anything like that. So just don't give up on that process at all. Now, as far as any kind of body memory and dealing with that, what is a safe parameter there, Chris? Help folks understand what you're talking about there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that can be confusing is we put a lot of pressure on our mind to remember our history, and our mind's memory is actually fairly limited, but our body actually has a memory of our experiences in life. And so there's just these ways, as you'd mentioned, Steve, very well, that we need to be in a safe place, a safe environment, and then someone who knows how to access what we call our core experiences, but the experiences we went through in our body. And when our body starts remembering, it brings these things to light, and then we can begin the healing process through not just the mind, but the body.
But I would also caution, Beth, not to completely avoid the talking piece to this, because the Bible is really clear that confessing to safe people, getting prayer from safe people, is an essential part of the healing process. And Beth, even though you may not have clear memories of the past, or maybe even periods without memories at all, still your ability to connect with another human being, to be understood and heard, even in the lack of memories and the frustration and the emotions you have here in the moment, I think that may still be an essential part of your healing, perhaps in combination with one of these other therapies that we're talking about.
I hope that's helpful to you.
It is. Thank you all.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to ask, you said EMDR, somatic experiencing, and you mentioned a third type. I'm sorry, I didn't get it down. Could you repeat it?
Yeah, it's called experiential therapy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry.
No worries. Yeah, great.
And thank you so much for your suggestions. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah, and don't give up. You've got a very willing heart,
mm-hmm.
and I think, first of all, I think that's rare, and I think it's invaluable in getting to a solution. Now let's go to Betty. Fort Worth, Texas, listens to KWRD. Hi, Betty. How you doing? Are you there, Betty? Let me see. Maybe Betty's not there. Maybe she is there, and I just haven't clicked it in the right way. Betty, and here's Betty from Fort Worth. All right. Hi.
Yes.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Can you hear me now?
Sure can. How's it going?
Okay. It's going good. what I told the person that answered my phone is my husband had a stroke 5.5 years ago, and it didn't really change his ability to function. He jumped right back in, and he works as an engineer, and he's worked all this time up until about a year ago, and I could see that his ability to function was getting less and less at home and all, and he did get fired a year ago. And so what has happened is his voice is flat, he's monotone, doesn't have any empathy, and he reacts like in stressful situations. We just went to visit our daughter in Colorado a few weeks ago, and in stressful situations, the cussing is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, well, you know, this person was, I try to explain softly, you know, well, that person was just trying to get in line or something like that. And it's really a political thing. It's racist. It's just not the person I married. So my question is, we were married 30 years before he had a stroke at 61. And my question is, I really don't feel divorce is what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, and, good. Hang in there.
Yeah, so it's, and it, you know, people, I've had therapy about this, and you know, it's they talk to me more about acceptance, but as things change, you know, it's easy to just go, whoa, you know, what's it going to be like 5 years from now? Or I just turned 63. I still feel like I've got a lot of living to do.
Yeah, right.
And so I guess my question for you is learning is how do I really, I've tried, you know, forgiving him because he doesn't know what he's doing. He can't help it. But it's still, the tone bothers me. Mm-hmm. Having to react like I do
bothers here's the thing.
Me, almost mothering.
But see, he's not getting any help. And to just assume that he can't be different is a mistake. He needs to know how uncomfortable this is for you and other people. He needs to know that a person whose restraint mechanisms have kind of deteriorated a bit can actually learn some new ways to restrain themselves versus it just coming naturally. I would never say that. They have to come to an ability to never say it rather than just it never gets said because they know that that's not the right thing to do. So, you know, the filter gets shot and restraint goes away, but that can be learned and that can be modified. Maybe not perfectly, but 50% better is amazingly better if he can do it 50% better. So I just think what you need is a willingness on his part to look better to other people, to connect better with other people. It's a matter of pride or something like that you can appeal to sometimes that will get him into the process. But you guys, you know, you saying I'm not going to divorce means, you know, what I'd really like to do is divorce, but it's not the right thing. If you could get to our one of our intensives for marriages, that could pull you back in. But what I would want you to do is be with some kind of marriage counselor, minister, someone who tries to help him see this could be better for both of you and a more enjoyable
life. That's exactly what I found. I found somebody, and I spent 2 sessions with her. She knows the backstory. And now I am at the point where I'm getting ready to ask him to come and
there
talk
you go.
To her.
Good. Well, that's perfect. Yeah. All right. Anything you want to add there, Alice or Chris?
I have 3 quick thoughts for you, Betty. And first, what a difficult position to be in and to try to figure out how much can you push or expect and how much do you have to accept. And because you're at the point of thinking divorce, if he doesn't know that you're struggling so much, I would ask you to appeal to intimacy, appeal to the love you have for one another or had for one another to see if, out of love for you, even if he doesn't care or he doesn't see the problem, but would he go to your counseling with you because it's important to you and your hurt and your struggling in this situation? And the other two thoughts are, if you're not doing daily prayer and Bible study together, there's evidence of the miraculous healing that can happen, and even just the character change through regular reading of the scriptures together. And the last one is to set some boundaries with him, to let him know what that you need to step away from him. If he's going into the cursing mode, if he's going to be yelling at people, then you'll step outside and you'll wait in the car for him. You need to take a break from that to protect your heart and protect yourself in this situation.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm really glad that you called.
And can I add one more thing I think is critically important?
Sure.
Is Betty, you mentioned your husband had a stroke. And we can also be talking about very profound impacts on the brain, which could also be early on onset dementia, possibly Alzheimer's. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I can't say these. But you're describing behavior that is consistent with deterioration of the brain neurologically. He needs to be assessed here. He's got to get ruled out on some real medical, you know, interventions that can help him out.
Best medical help possible. That's what's needed. Best assessment. The Amen Clinics, we've had Daniel Amen on. They really do a great job, and I couldn't recommend them more, because, you know, they don't just discover there's a problem, then they help you do something about it. Glad you called. You've got all of the books that we have, but I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible to give to him. And sometimes just the Word of God is all is needed here, transformation of that brain. And that is the Bible that it's got more men back reading the Bible than any Bible I know of. So send that out to you. Let's go to, how about we talk with Elizabeth, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Sirius XM. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah, how could we help?
I'm at work, so I'm trying to be kind of quiet so my whole entire staff doesn't hear my conversation.
Okay. All right.
I'm calling because I am trying to save my marriage. My husband moved out 2 months ago. He took off his wedding ring. He's a divorce attorney. I'm his fourth wife. I'm 20 years younger than he is. We built a home together. We sold both of our homes, built our retirement home. He refuses to come home. We both got married in the Catholic Church. His son is a priest.
Okay.
And he's just treating me like he just wants to sell the home. He's not giving me any hope for us being together. I am like, well, what do you want to do? I've tried to get him into doing a marriage counseling, you know, like we can go do it out of state, just anything to get to him. But I do send him scripture. He doesn't say anything about that, but I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's seen somebody else. In my heart, I feel that could be the case.
That would be kind of consistent with his history. Did you guys meet while he was still married or not?
Was he cheating on me?
No. When you started seeing him, was he still married at the time?
No.
Okay. So he had already divorced the third wife, and then he started dating you?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes. And then I met him in 2010. We dated, and we got married in 2014.
Okay.
And
you feel like 4 years later, he's ready to move on again, and that's what he's telling you, right?
That's how I feel. Like, he wants to sell our beautiful home. I try to invite him over for dinner. I'm like, let's talk. All he wants to do is blame everything on me.
Yeah.
And it just has been so hurtful, and all I've been doing is praying. I'm also seeking spiritual counseling. And, you know, I give it to God, but, you know, I just sometimes it's nice to get other people's opinions on how to handle this.
Okay. Now, there's an old trite saying. And there's usually a reason that these old trite sayings get repeated is because they're often true. And that is that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But if anybody can help you with an angle, a crack in the wall here, Alice and Chris can do this. So let's start with you, Chris. What do you think might be her best strategy? I mean, it sounds like to me he's repeating exactly what he's done before and has no interest here. Mm-hmm. She's not able to get him to respond.
Yeah, it sounds like he's done what he's always done. Mm-hmm. And so, Elizabeth, I would encourage you to have a conversation with him. And again, you're going to have to manage your expectations on how effective this is or not. But I would go to him from a place of strength inside of yourself and just confront him and say, hey, I'm seeing the exact same pattern for you play out over and over and over and over again.
I wrote that in a letter to him.
Okay, and just let him know that I can't change your mind, but I hate you living this miserable. And I would be invested if you wanted to help you not live this miserable.
Okay.
And so I'm inviting you into a greater level of joy and happiness through improving our marriage. But I can't make you do it, but that's what I'm inviting you to, because I hate seeing you in misery.
And I have a slightly different thought. I'm getting pretty angry here and feeling protective of you, and I think you need to protect yourself legally from your divorce attorney husband.
True. We'll be back after this.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Elizabeth, and I believe that, Alice, you have a comment here.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I'm scared for you. I'm scared that the rug is going to be pulled out from under you and that your husband has the know-how to do it. I wonder if he did it to his previous wives. And that's why I think legal protection might be the best thing to safeguard your future and let him know you need business. You mean business. And sometimes doing that actually shakes a person up and gets them interested or wakes them up to what's going on.
I did make a call to a lawyer this morning who's really good friends with both of us, and he didn't know the situation. They're real good Christian people. And so okay. I told him a little bit about what's going on, and he said, you know, he was going to talk to him, but I said, please don't tell him that I called you. I said, we need to talk because, you know, I'm trying to do everything to save our marriage, and I don't feel like he wants to save this marriage. He wants to just sell our home and probably just okay. buy me off and so, move
yeah.
on.
So let me make this suggestion to you that maybe you would be in touch with somebody that's not a friend of his after this conversation. Maybe something good will happen. But if it doesn't, you need somebody that's totally on your team and wants you to be treated fairly throughout this. I'm really glad you called about this. I feel horrible about this. But, anybody that marries somebody and you're number four, you really, really, really have to be sure that you guys have got a lot of premarital and a lot of postmarital. You just want to be sure that all of that is right there. In place. I'm glad that you called. I want to go over here and I want to talk with Beth, Boston, Massachusetts. Two Beths in one show. Mm-hmm. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on with you today?
Okay, so my husband had an affair about a year ago and there was a child that was part of the affair.
Ouch.
We still live together. We do have four kids together. I just had a baby 4 months ago. But it's kind of like I've been suppressing my feelings. I don't know what step to take. But I want to get some healing, but I don't want to mm-hmm. still be married. But, you know, everyone is like, you guys should stay married. But I'm like, I don't want to anymore.
Yeah. Well, first thing, is there any remorse on his part?
What do you consider remorse? Because
well, remorse is this is the most horrible thing I have ever done, could have done to you. I can't tell you how much I regret yeah. this. You didn't deserve this. Those are remorseful kinds of things.
I mean, he has, yes.
Okay.
He has.
So, all right. Then there is, if you have that, there is a very good chance that staying together will produce a better outcome for you than leaving. Is this the only time he's ever had an affair?
The only one that I've known about. The only one that
okay.
I actually suspect.
Okay. Well, if that's the case versus a serial killer kind of person and he's willing to get
yeah.
help, so the first thing is that he needs to go to every man's battle and show you that he wants to win your heart back and become a man of integrity. So it's one thing, you need the remorse that he's expressing about this. Then you need to see him do some things that show he wants to change. And if you see those things, then you're really probably better off working through the bitterness and the anger and the resentment than thinking it's going to all be different and better with somebody else. Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, the statistics show it. So you'd have to do a lot of grieving and forgiving. He, though, needs to
yes.
show you action that will change his life. Alice, what are you thinking?
Yes.
Well, Steve, I'm hearing some laughter from you, Beth, as you're talking. And I know it's laughter. I believe it's uh-huh. laughter that's just covering up some of the most intense pain that you've ever lived through in this past year of being pregnant at maybe around the same time that the woman he had the affair with was pregnant. And those kind of affairs where
yes,
a child
yeah.
is produced, yes. I mean, I don't think we can capture fully how much you have suffered in this, and yet you may still need this man to help support you and your children. So I also wonder how much you feel like you've had to put up with in order to protect your children. An affair where a child is produced is one of the most difficult to recover from because there's likely ongoing communication, maybe financial support with that mother of his child. Now, it's not impossible, especially if he's willing to do the work, but it's sounding to me like he hasn't done the work. Maybe he's saying the right words, but you haven't talked about all the great work he's been doing in this past year to get help, to get healing for you, and to show that he's becoming trustworthy again. That really concerns me.
He hasn't. I don't think he has tried to seek counseling. I mean, it's more like if I suggest, okay, let's go to counseling, he'll say, okay, let's go to counseling. But I don't think he has seen it for himself to try to work on himself.
Then you have to question his. You have to question his remorse, because there needs to be a feeling of I would do anything. I would do anything to win you back. I'll send you worthy of his trust, worthy of her trust. I mean, because I want you to give it to him. But you have to ask him: Are you gonna go to every man's battle or not? When he says not, I think you have your answer as to whether or not this is the beginning of a problem or it's the beginning of him getting help for the problem that led to it. That's my thought. We'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the temple steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And let's go to line number one and talk with... Well, I can't get in line number one. I'd like to talk to Frank, but I can't get Frank's...
there he goes. We got it.
Do it there in Big Lake Forest. Frank, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
How you doing?
Yeah.
You there?
Hi.
Frank?
Hi. Yes, I am. Thanks, Steve.
Good to talk to you. How can we help you today?
About 10 years ago, I was diagnosed, I'll say this, informally diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And my question in a nutshell would be this. Nowadays, are there better strategies just to live with it besides, you know, imitate normalcy?
Well, I've known some people that have certainly gotten over it, haven't you? I mean, gotten better. They've learned new strategies.
The first thing I would say is, like, I'm not too comfortable with an informal diagnosis of Asperger's. Hmm. I mean, this is a serious condition, and I think we need an official or formal diagnosis of it, first of all. Second of all, usually what we're talking about here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Frank, is just a struggle to pick up social cues, and there being like social awkwardness in conversations or even everyday life.
Yeah, that's one of the symptoms. Another symptom which may be relevant is my older brother. He had the real autism.
Mm, yeah.
It's like I've got a smaller dose of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had such medical complications, he passed away at age 30.
Oh, yeah.
And so I know I'm not that.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, so it makes sense that I would have a smaller dose of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I would.
If it's genetic. Yeah.
Well, and the first thing is exactly what you're doing, is you're getting educated on and aware of what it is. But even more importantly than that is really understanding how it shows up in your own life. What are the very thing, the specific things that you struggle with that you would like to improve? Now, and I say that you would like to improve because there's some things that we struggle with and we're just like, I'm okay with that. We can have acceptance for that.
And Frank, I would add that what you were told 10 years ago, I don't even know how accurate that was then, but if it was, I would say there's some great work that can be done, even if it's things like working on social skills, working on learning how to read cues when those abilities don't come as naturally to you as they may come to most people. But just your ability to make this call to engage with us as you're doing tells me that you're functioning at a fairly high level, and I think you can increase that level of functioning by getting some work, doing some role play, and learning how to put in practice things that may not come naturally to you.
You know, it's like, you know, I I'll do things like I'll write a script ahead of time before talking to people, which is good. That helps me a lot, confidence-wise. But then a lot of times people say, you come across like you're reading a script. You know, I try to do the right things, but it doesn't go smoothly.
But you know what? The answer to that can simply be, you know, things don't come easy for me. And I put a lot of thought into things that I do. I do kind of plan some things out that I'm going to say. I just want you to know it's kind of a family problem. Others have it in my family. And I hope you won't ever assume it's a lack of not caring. In fact, I care so much that I really do kind of plan out some things that I say. But, that kind of helps a person see that you're not trying to cover anything up. But, you know, I've shared this before. I have a version of this, like facial recognition is something that's almost impossible for me. That's why I'm a radio talk show host, not face-to-face TV. But I really don't do a good job of knowing some of the nuances. I can certainly tell you the difference between somebody that's happy and sad. But some of the other nuances, I'm not very good at that. And the harder that I worked on it, the worse I got at it. So I just think you have to be open and honest with people and let them know if something you do kind of feels weird or you did something that felt awkward. You can even say that. Boy, that felt awkward because it is awkward because I'm used to these kinds of situations that are kind of awkward like this.
Yeah. And
What I really go against the grain of is I'm way too comfortable living like a hermit. I know that's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm so comfortable with that, I got to push myself out of my own nest, so to speak.
Are you involved with the church? Tough. Are you involved with the church, Frank?
They tend not to like me too much.
Okay. I'm too much.
I sit like a stone. You know, I'm sort of like Quasimodo.
Yeah.
I sit there like a stone gargoyle, and you know, this person isn't very social. He's not someone that we like to have around.
There's two things I want to encourage you. The first thing I want to encourage you with is trying to find a group therapy that's interactive. And so look in your area, see what therapists are out there that are doing group work, and that could be really helpful, and even groups centered on social skills. The second thing is that I actually think that you're ready-made for a large church experience, and because in larger churches, you can kind of go in and sit in the back and kind of be to yourself. But I think in that, there's a couple of really large churches there in Las Vegas I think are fantastic. And so you go in there, but they also offer more opportunities for connection, whether that be through a small group experience or whether that be through common activities. And just like Steve said, is that it may require you to educate people on what you struggle with and also just letting them know how you interact.
Frank, I also want to gently challenge your assumption that people don't want you at churches, because I would bet you have had experiences where you have been directly rejected and people didn't want you. But I think that belief has now spread to believing most people don't want me. Maybe nobody wants
me. That's good, Alice.
And I think that's an erroneous assumption. But Frank, we all have a tendency to look for evidence that supports what we already believe. And we ignore or overlook evidence that's contrary to our belief that you're a likable guy, that people do want you around. And you have good insight that you have a tendency to be a hermit. And so isolating yourself has allowed you to continue that belief. So I think this will take risking doing exactly what Chris was talking about, risking going out there again. And that risk will probably involve two things. There probably will be more rejection. But you'll never find acceptance and growth without risking to getting out there with people again. And just from our conversation with you, you seem like a pretty likable, insightful guy.
I like Frank. I want to hang out with Frank.
Well, Frank, you know what you have in common with everybody I've ever met is that everybody likes to stay in their comfort zone. And I think that when people face-to-face hear that anything outside of being by yourself as a hermit is not in your comfort zone, that you, rather than retreat and succumb and live in a comfort zone, just the fact that you're having a conversation with them is uncomfortable, but it, even in the discomfort, can be enjoyable when somebody quote unquote gets you and isn't offended by you, but really tries to connect with you in the midst of what you're struggling with. And I like what Chris is saying about a big church. And then you can try a smaller environment and in a growth group or home group, and not every one of them is going to work. Don't give up, though, and don't live in that hermitous existence. Stay out of that comfort zone as much as you can. You can always retreat back there, but keep challenging yourself. And I've seen some people do some pretty amazing changes because they said they wanted to connect with other people. They wanted to get into other people. And, you know, one of the best things is find, when you're with others, how much you're thinking about you, obsessing about you, and obsessing about other things, projects, other things outside of that room, and force yourself to say, I it's like a job interview. I want to know about this person. I might not be curious because I don't really connect with this person, but I'm going to block out me, block out the world. I'm just going to ask this person some questions. What do you like to do? What makes you uncomfortable? And you might find people starting to relate to you differently when you force yourself to ignore yourself and the outside world, make a little bit of a contact. I wish I had a book I could send you, but there's so many resources and groups even that you can attend. I'm really glad that you called. I hope something we said is an encouragement. I'll send you Every Man's Bible. I think you're going to like that. Even hermits can like it, reading it in the privacy of their own home.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we didn't stay connected to Beth. Let's address that situation. The husband had an affair. There's a baby that's involved. And Alice, maybe we can get reconnected and she can listen to the program, or we can help her off the air too, but... well, what do you say to her as if she was right here?
Well, on the biblical, spiritual side of things, unfortunately, she does have grounds for a divorce. We know that God allows for divorce in situations where there has been infidelity. But on the other side, there still can be hope for healing despite the complicated nature of the affair and the fact that the affair produced a child when Beth was also pregnant. But it usually involves... I would say needs to involve someone who is equipped to help guide them through this situation. And it will include something like a third person being present whenever the father has access to the child or to the mother of the child, the woman with whom he had the affair. Because Beth is going to need some proof and some support and safety that even though he may carry on relationship for the sake of the child of the affair, that he is still being faithful to her. And that can be done with the help of a professional.
Yeah, and she's just sitting on quite a bit of hurt and resentment that are all very reasonable, but leaving the marriage doesn't cure the hurt and resentment. Mm-hmm. So for her, I would want Beth to engage in her own healing process, because the trigger for the betrayal is not going to end because another child is involved. And so it's just so critically important that she be able to have her heart restored in this process, yeah. As well as the marriage be restored.
Well, and let's clarify this. The statistics show that when two people divorce versus two people deciding to stay together, they're happier 5 years later if they stay mm-hmm. together. Now, that statistic doesn't reflect two people. One has an affair. And one really wants to keep it together if he will get help, but the one that had the affair doesn't want to get help. See, that yeah. really doesn't give you the full picture there. So I would say to her, you do have grounds, and I think you do need to move on. If his remorse, mm-hmm. knowing that not only did you have an affair, but you produced a child, and there are yeah. other then that you need the assurance that this is not going to happen again. So if you don't have that kind of humble willingness on his part, I think this is why Jesus was very clear. People argue with me about that. Was Jesus really clear that it would? Yes, Jesus was clear. When adultery has been committed, you are free to leave. And that, as I said earlier, but we encourage people to stay. We want to keep marriages together, even in these situations, but you got to have two people working together. Now, I've got time for a quick phone call with Diana. Diana, I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call. You're the last call in 3 hours of programs today. How could we help you?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for all you do. I'm happy that I'm able to talk to you. I'm just calling to see like what kind of boundaries to have for my 23-year-old that has mental challenges. I think I've been doing a lot through the years with him.
What's the mental challenge that he has, real quick? What's his mental challenge?
Well, there's so much. I mean, there's depression, there's anxiety, and then you know, he goes to therapy, so gets so effective. What other? Bipolar. Yeah, it's a lot.
Are you ever in danger with him?
Yes. Previous years I have, and that's why he's not living with me at the time, because there's been so much chaos in the home with my daughter and my husband, which is not his father, but he's known him since he's been two, and his father.
Where does he live? Where does he live now?
He's actually living with my mom and dad, which, you know, they are so always welcoming, you know, him back. And
are they safe there? Are they safe with him there?
I believe so. I mean, he's there actually. My sister and her husband and her son live there, and I mean, that's another story, but as far as I know, I mean, because I know there's been situations before, and that's why I told him I don't think it's a good thing to go back there, but I was actually took him to a men's Christian men's home because he was burning his bridges from my home to their home and another friend's home.
So what's the question for us? Because we're almost out of time.
Well, I'm trying to find the boundaries now, because I feel like I've done a lot, and my husband's like really just had it.
Yeah,
he thinks I enable him, and so just trying to find the boundaries now, because he doesn't do what I tell him to do. And
you need something before you set a boundary. You need a commitment.
I need a commitment.
You need to commit to connect with your husband and respect your husband and love your husband.
Right.
And let him know that you're more on his team than an abusive child who's out of control. Secondly, you need a commitment to the best care possible and not assume that your son has the best care, and maybe look and explore. Are there other treatments, other resources available? And then thirdly, now you and your husband come together and establish those boundaries together. Alice, you have a comment before we go?
Anything you could add to that? There's a misnomer, Diana, about boundaries, which is that boundaries are for other people to change, to make other people change. And that's not the case at all. It's actually helping me to change my behavior. Yes, we want to influence other people, but the focus is on what I can control, what's within my power. So I want you to refocus that boundaries are for you to limit your exposure to your son's toxic behavior and to limit your resources depending on his willingness to respect and be loving to you and your husband. So it's not about changing him. It's about changing yourself and what you can control. And groups like NAMI, Al-Anon, and the Regional Center can all help figure out where those boundaries lie with someone that has the challenges that your son does. It's a tough situation.
Man, I tell you, and great insight there, Alice. It really is something that I think you can get your life back when you get those boundaries down. But I hope you and your husband can get back on the same page. So often we see the second, third divorce because of the problem child taking the priority. We do need your help here, and we'll send you Dave's new book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. It's a good one. All you have to do is call us, gift of any amount. It's coming your way. Also, we've got November the 2nd, Orange County is going to be our Every Man's Battle. We hope and pray that you'll come. If you need it, or send somebody if they need it, it's going to be a great, great time. Also, our October 19th, 10 days from tomorrow, October 19th is going to be our 30th anniversary celebration. We have an intimacy in marriage, February 15th, not too early to sign up for that. All those things, we can do that because people support this ministry. And we love our Club New Life members. We love our one-time givers. And this month, anybody that joins Club New Life, you get that we're going to continue because the response has been so good to the 71 teachings on a thumb drive. And, of course, you get access to this video library, our way of saying thank you for being part of New Life. Thank you, Alice Benton. Thank you, Chris Williams. Appreciate you. Appreciate all you do. And to all of you who listen, watch, support, pray for us. Thanks so much. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.